2FM.
Okay, we are into the last couple of weeks of 2019 and as the decade comes to a close. That's right, yeah, second decade of the 21st century. We wanted to have a look back at the 2010s, is that what we call them? To get a sense of the music landscape over the last 10 years. During the week, Spotify revealed its biggest songs, albums and artists of the last decade. Drake, Ed Sheeran, Ariana Grande, all featuring very heavily. Well, joining me now to take a broader look at the decade in music, journalists John Maher and Jennifer Gannon. Welcome to you both. Jennifer, I'll start with you.
Yes.
Am I asking for an overview? If I am, go for it.
Oh my God. I think we could define the decade in two halves. Like, I think the decade belonged to the pop girls. We got, you know, your Gaga, Rihanna, Taylor Swift, Beyonce. And then EDM kind of took over as well for the decade. You had Calvin Harris, David Guetta and Avicii. They literally set up camp at the top spot for, you know, years on the charts. And then I suppose overall it probably was Ed Sheeran's decade, which is a terrifying concept, but a concept nonetheless. And it happened, and we have to deal with the fact that it happened.
We have to deal with it, do we?
I mean, and I think, you know, but there has been like we've seen evolution of artists over the past 10 years, and I think that has been really important. And I think the ones that have made the biggest leaps creatively, I think, have been Beyonce, Gaga, and you could say Kanye and Taylor Swift. I think Kanye and Taylor Swift are almost the same side of the coin. And people like to think they're very different because of the fact that they've been locked in a kind of media battle for the past 10 years, ever since Kanye jumped on stage and interrupted, you know, Taylor's speech at the MTV VMAs. But they are both power and fame hungry people, and both all of their albums for of the past 10 years have been, you know, involved in the same subjects. Whether it be their latter albums, which are more like with Kanye with The Life of Pablo and Taylor with Reputation, they're both obsessed with what fame is doing to them and how fame has eroded them in the past 10 years. And I think that's a really interesting concept because they were the people that they're kind of like the decade in, if you want a soundtrack to the decade, they
say. But was the music any good?
I mean, that's up for discussion. But right. I mean, I think, you know, Kanye has done very well to guide us through it with, I think, you know, for starting off with something like My Dark Twisted Beautiful Fantasy, like, which is possibly his best album. And then, you know, which was very dark and very influential and minimalistic, but influential on people like that you would see later on in the decade, like The Weeknd and his massive success. And there wouldn't be any The Weeknd, I think, without Kanye, who was dabbling in dance music before a lot of hip hop artists. And you can see the influence of like minimalist techno and Daft Punk, etc., in that album. But then he moved, you know, he kept moving and changing. And you see something like Yeezus, which is completely egotistical, but also quite brilliant. And then something like, as I said, Life of Pablo, which is very much concentrated on what it means to be married to somebody who is a global
and
superstar.
No mention for King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Weird.
No.
Okay, John, I'll talk to you this time because, like, I mean, we've just played music there from the Rolling Stones, Gimme Shelter, and you were writing about it yesterday in the Independent. So I'll ask you this: anything as good as that in the last 10 years?
Well, actually, Jen mentioned Kanye West. I actually think My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is a masterpiece. Started the decade off incredibly well. I don't think Kanye matched it since then. I think it's been a bit of a downhill slide for him. I think there's been some great music. I think the standout of the decade, though, for me, is how we consume music. Streaming has been all-encompassing. I mean, Spotify was created 10 years ago, but it was only in about 2013, 14, where it reached critical mass. When I was a kid, the idea of having a device that you could carry around with you in your pocket and have pretty much every song ever recorded was the stuff of fantasy. Today it's real for about €10 a month. And it's kind of important sometimes to step back from that and realise how extraordinary that is. But it's a double-edged
sword.
Well,
like you both referenced albums. Is it still alive and well? Because, I mean, do people really listen from beginning to end?
No, I mean, I think it's a shuffle is the biggest thing that Spotify has given anyone, like anyone that uses it. But also kids, I'm an older lady. They don't consume music in the same way. Like you've got your TikTok and you've got your YouTube clips, and it's all very much tiny bites of music with no context or reference. And that's why someone like Ariana Grande is actually one of the stars of the decade, because if you look at her album, Thank You Next, it is like a mixtape. it's like a bag of, it's like a mix, it's just like a bag of tracks. It's not, there's no real, there's a cohesion to it if you want to listen to it as a whole, but it works very well as just little blasts of
funny
music.
A friend of mine went to see her at the Three Arena, says the worst thing he's ever seen in his entire life.
I think she's phenomenal.
I know you do.
I do.
That's why I said it.
The Spotify effect means the producers and artists, particularly from the pop realm, are thinking about the first 10 or 15 seconds of tracks, yeah, and about having to connect with the audience really, really quickly, or they run the risk of just being forgotten about. And the people like Drake, who among the most streamed artists of the decade, are out of the trap straight away. For me, because I come of age in an era of cassette, essentially, I like to listen to albums from start to finish. What's interesting
well,
as
all
well...
all these artists you mentioned still talk about the album.
Every single artist I ever interview, still... Like, for instance, this year has probably...
It's the body of work.
It's been the best year I remember this year in Irish music in terms of album releases. There's some fantastic stuff there. Interviewed many of them, including Fontaines D.C., who are playing Vicar Street a second night tonight. The album doggerel for them was paramount. It wasn't just about doing what Ash did. Now, you had them at the top of the show, but just in terms of
album,
a single every fortnight. I mean, almost every artist still thinks in terms of the album
and
as
I think,
a format.
But they have to do it in a completely different way. And someone who has mastered that is Beyonce with Lemonade, because she made every individual, by doing the videos with every single song, she made every individual track a single, if you want. So everybody knows every single track from that album and you're hooked into it immediately.
And do you know the way they say like vinyl has had a resurgence? That I know it has, but has it really had a massive effect, or is it just a nice thing?
I think it's been minimal but significant.
Yeah.
In that I think it is helping record shops exist.
Yeah.
Do you know? They were in dire straits a decade ago. Some of them went by the wayside, but also some of them are thriving as a result of this. But it's a fringe thing, because everybody can go out and have their free Spotify account or spend their tenner a month and connect with music that way. But there is also a sense that you can have this format. Funnily enough, for me, it hasn't been a thing. I have to be honest, the vinyl thing at all. I am just enraptured by the ability within seconds to pick any song I want to hear. I still think that's extraordinary.
And is the industry more sort of like, the minute they see something good happening, they will ape it to the point you never know what you listen to after a while?
Yeah, I think there's a horrendous amount of homogeneity, particularly from people like Ed Sheeran. And I would echo what you were saying there, but I cannot stand the guy.
He's pop-zelig. He's everywhere. Yeah. That's the most bizarre thing about him, because he appeals to so many, and he's an artist on every single track. If you look, he's, you know, been on with Stormzy. He's been working with Beyonce. He's worked with Coldplay. Everybody wants a bit of Ed because he's the everyman. And that upsets me greatly, because it's the fact that he's made everything very bland, and he's made everything a bit like, oh, he's come down to the lowest common denominator in a way, where he has lyrics about, you know, I'll make you a cup of soup in bed. It's like, I don't want that from my pop stars. I want my pop stars to be like aliens. I want my pop stars to be like Lady Gaga. I don't want them to look like my brother's friend that went to UCD. I just don't want that. But a lot of people do, because he appeals to like your brother because he looks like his mate. He appeals to like your, you know, your granny, your mom and dad, because he's like a nice kid and he does a cover of Galway Girl. But isn't that like the total antithesis of what music should be about? You shouldn't be listening to what your parents are listening to.
If any of that music was good, it'd be fine by
not.
Me.
But then again, you got to say to yourself, it's not good, but it's what people want. He's selling it by the truckload.
But also that with people like Sheeran and others, there is this box-ticking exercise that go on where they go, okay, we need the urban sound, we need a bit of indie, we need a bit of folk here, we need to sing along, we need the kind of anthemic kind of thing. And it is incredibly cynical, which is why when somebody entirely different comes along doing something special, like for instance the Bjork show a week or so ago, that was incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible for loads of different reasons. As you were saying, the exotic nature of Bjork. She's not going to rock up wearing clothes that the regular person in the street wears, or she's not going to call to the hospital.
Yeah, it was an astonishing show, but like the music was pretty dodgy half the time. You know, it was like the last two albums. Like, sorry?
I disagree.
I couldn't disagree more. It was like Icelandic Fantasia. It was beautiful.
Yeah, but also right, that's
one
why
the
I hate
but actually one of the great things about that show.
Don't tell me the madrigals in the first half.
But no, it was like, it was this strict no photography, no phones up in the sky like this, which I thought was great, because too much of what's happened over the past decade is people kind of not living in the moment.
But do you not think people are looking for something very different from music than they used to? And that's fine. It's just moved to a different place.
Yeah, I definitely do. And I think that is okay. I mean, there is, you know, because this decade, if anything, has proven to us, like, this is what the younger people want. And this is what they are listening to. And this is what, and like half of it is stuff like the EDM kind of stuff that took over, like Calvin Harris, like David Guetta, like Avicii, that, you know, they were kind of homogenized. They were, they, you know, it was all about the rise and then, you know, the drops in the songs, and that was it. And then, but that's like party music. That's like their number ones that we, like, years ago you would have had, like, for holiday music. Like, that's literally the same thing, but it's just in a different package. And we shouldn't be scared of that. We should just say, huh, it'll probably just pass on. Whereas
well,
the things,
it's not necessarily a question of being scared. It's a question of liking it.
Well, of liking it. But, like, yeah. I mean, the things that will remain, I think, will be the artists that have invested time into what they're doing as still as a piece of work. And I think those people are weirdly like your Taylor Swift, like your Kanye, like your Beyonce.
On that note, then, what do you call him? Ed Sheeran will remain.
Oh, he will. Yeah. Like, he will never get rid of him. I'm sorry, but he's there to remain. Whether you like him or not, he will stick around forevermore because he's, you know, cheap and easy to use. He's a songwriter that you just draft in, and he has his guitar and his loops, and you're all set and you're ready to go. He doesn't have an egg to carry him down.
I know we're trying to do 10 years in 15 minutes. It's a bit ridiculous. All right, I have some stuff here. John, I'll play one of yours first then, right? They're in two different colours here. I'm not sure which colour is which, but I have all of the lights here. Will I play a bit of that? Yeah, that
absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Hold on. Okay, just a quick blast. Tell me about it, John. Why so good?
Well, the production is absolutely outstanding. You've got Rihanna at the peak of her powers. I suppose one of the great things about hip-hop this decade is the very clever collaborations that have happened. There are a multitude of artists on that album, but it works, and it's still very much Kanye. This is a man who pushes self-aggrandizement to a new level, but when he's on form like that, it's extremely special. And I thought it was a great way to start the decade, and in terms of what it would become. Partly, I suppose, the crossover nature of music, but there are fewer tribes maybe today than there was. One of the great things, I think, is people pick and choose lots of different things. They can be into classical, into rap, and into indie, and it can
all right.
be
okay. Well, that's Kanye West with Rihanna. So I'm going to play a little bit of this here. And this one is one of yours, Jennifer. Tell us about that.
Robin, Dance on My Own. Now, that for me is the song of the decade. I think it defines the decade. It is a supreme sad banger, and it just influenced so many other artists. And I think, it, you know, it was ubiquitous, but in a nice way. And it could be, like, there's so much you can draw the line from Robin all the way down to every female artist, from, like, Katy Perry to Lady Gaga to Rihanna. They all wanted a slice of that sound. And I think it's an iconic song that will be, you know, filling dance floors forever and filling taxi rides home when you're in tears. So it works everywhere.
Okay, but would your one be, if you had to go to one thing, one band, one whatever, it'd be Lady Gaga?
It would be Lady Gaga. I think she is my artist of
and
the decade.
Is the icing on the cake the movie, the fact that she was so good?
I definitely think so. But I think by the, you know, the start of the decade, she was, you know, the meat dress the traveling, as I said, down a red carpet in an egg. She was androgynous. She was avant-garde. You know, she did the art pop album with
when
Marina Abramovic.
When did I see her at the Aviva? Was that in the last 10
that
years?
That was, yeah, for the art pop tour where she was very angry and she said to people, if you're just here to listen to the hits, go back to the bar and drink your Guinness, which was amazing. So she went from like crazy outsider to somebody who is now respected. She is an industry person after, you know, A Star Is Born. She is an Emmy winner. She's an Oscar winner.
Is that a good thing?
I think it's great because I think she's, you know, changing it from the inside.
Respect of the industry. God, I don't
know
if I want
that. No, but she's changing it from the inside for somebody that was not, you know, people used to be so disparaging about her at the start of this decade saying, is she a man? Is she a woman? Which is, when you think about it in terms of now, that's such a disgraceful thing to be saying. But, you know, the papers were saying that all the time about her. So to go from that to now be someone who's on stage in an evening gown, slagging, you know, interrupting like Leonardo DiCaprio having a laugh at her, that's a huge deal. And I think she will continue to go from strength to strength, you know, doing what she wants to do. She's playing the game in her own way and she's done it well.
Okay, John, what else have we not? Guitars coming back, are they really? Well, they're in the process of it, do you
think? I think they're in the process of it for sure. I mean, again, look at Fontaines D.C., Murder Capital and Girl Band this year in terms of some
Irish
of the Irish stuff that's kind of happened. And even a band like Foals returning with two albums this year. I think for a lot of this decade, it was pushed aside. You had hip-hop and you had female artists very much to the fore. People like Taylor Swift and Beyoncé having remarkable decades. Particularly, just want to mention 1989 by Taylor Swift. What a great album it was, the way Max Martin solidified his status as a hitmaker supreme. He is number three in the all-time list of number one songwriters in America behind a couple of insignificant people called Paul McCartney and John Lennon. So he's really
John Lennon, 39 years dead today.
Today, is it? Yeah. Okay, yeah, of course.
So next year you'll hear a lot of 40-40 and 2020, because he was 40 alive and 40 not alive. Anyway,
I also think it was the decade of Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
You know, he was a really significant. You've got Bono appearing in his album. You've got him appearing in the last U2 album. He just pushed hip-hop into a different realm.
And I think the biggest thing about him is his voice. Got a fantastic voice.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And is very clever. In like, he seems like he's very raw and he touches on issues that are completely necessary, you know, for speaking about young black people in America. And All Right has become like this theme for the Black Lives Matter movement. But like someone who also was doing that, but in a pop sense, was Beyonce. And you can't doubt that she really has become politicized and switched on this past decade. If she's moving from, you know, announcing her pregnancy in a shiny suit on the MTV VMAs to actually doing a video that touches on the death of Trayvon Martin for, you know, Formation. And I think that is a massive statement. And she's had such a career trajectory over the past decade that she really has brought politics into the forefront of pop.
Any mention of Lana
fantastic.
Del Rey? Do we have space
I
for
was
her?
Just going to say.
That's the best album of the year for me. The Norman Effing Rockwell is just a wonderful piece of pop, and there's so much happening in that. And she, I think that's album number five for her.
Yeah, I mean, so she has this style that's now built up to the point where people say they're forgetting about what they used to give out about at the beginning, that she was too good looking, I don't believe her kind of thing, to absolutely,
she's,
like, this
she's
is really
absolutely
something else.
The real deal. Yeah. She's absolutely the real
deal.
But
I don't think it matters if she is or she isn't. This whole idea of authenticity that she was wrapped up in, I don't care fell out of the Hollywood O or if she, you know, fell out of a industry party or whatever. Like, it's the same as Father John Misty or C6 Steve. It's just a story, and I think she's doing it.
I would
so
C6 Steve was lying.
Well, we love a liar. Come on, was David Bowie an alien? Was he?
He wasn't true. Yeah, okay, so what else then? Just to sum up, like, where are, I mean, dare I ask, what about the next 10 years? You haven't a clue. Come on.
Well, Kanye's going all religious, so I think that's the way the kids are going to go. And if you look at Justin Bieber, who had a great decade because...
Is he still saying Mass every Sunday?
Oh, they all are.
Is he?
Yeah. This is it. It's a big deal. Big deal. So I think we'll look for Bieber's religious album is coming. It
definitely is.
Okay. God,
I can't
wait. Be afraid. Be very
afraid.
Said
he lying. Go on.
Well,
John.
I kind of wonder with 5G technology happening, this is the decade of 4G, which allowed streaming to happen. What will this new super duper thing allow for technology in terms of how we listen to music? I mean, and how we consume it live. I mean, you've got ABBA coming on the road with a hologram tour.
Yeah, have you ever seen one of those holograms? I've never seen one.
Roy Orbison's.
Yeah, Roy Orbison.
And somebody's told me he rose from the floor like a demon, which terrified me enough. So,
you know, I went to see a man, what's his name? Morris Gibb. No, not Morris Gibb, the main Gibb, Barry Gibb.
Barry Gibb.
And Barry has his son playing on stage beside him, but on the two screens behind, verses are sung by his two not around
brothers.
They
did that at Cher did that with Sonny. They did, I got you, babe. vibe,
right,
like
of course,
to when she sang it to a video of Sunny. So yeah, this is the way.
But I've never seen the hologram thing, you know.
Yeah, well, check out that Roy Orbison one. It sounds like it should be in you know, some kind of Halloween thing.
Right. Okay. Any last words, John, on this before the next 20?
Look, I think there's been a glut of extraordinarily good music this decade. Even just to throw a couple out there, for, again, something like Deer Hunter's Halcyon Digest. Is a masterful album.
Yeah, I went to see them 2 or 3 weeks ago.
I was at the matinee show there. It was a very strange one.
I was at that too.
Were you?
Yeah. Okay. And to be honest, you know something? I liked them, but I didn't like it.
But I think Bradford Cox is probably the most interesting, you know, alternative artist of the past 10 years. Yeah. And you know what? He's so prolific that you could have another Marquis Smith on your hands there where he'll just keep on making albums, whether anybody
is
wants to listen
great
to him
thing?
Or not. It's another thing.
70% of the Fall didn't do it for me. 30% did. Anyway,
that sounds like the title of a Fall album.
Yeah, right. We got to go. So listen, thank you very much indeed for dropping in on the programme this morning, Jennifer Gannon and John Maher as well.
Dave Fanning on 2FM. 2FM.